Alright, this morning we'll be looking at our second of four teachings in this Advent series. I've entitled this series, Unexpected. When God works differently than you and I expect. Unexpected. Go ahead and turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Last week we were in Luke chapter 2, so let's take something a chapter back, which sometimes, especially for Calvary, seems unusual. We'll be working our way through. We're going to be walking through verses 26 through 38 in this first chapter of Luke. And while you're turning to Luke, I'm going to provide a quick introduction to today's teaching that I've titled, An Unexpected Plan. An Unexpected Plan. Now, most of us are comfortable with God's will as long as it fits neatly into my plan. If it's my plan and it's God's will, I'm great. I'm like, hey, God, this is fantastic. I mean, I don't know about you. Isn't that true of you guys? When God's doing things the way you want Him to do things, where you desire Him to do things, you're like, this is a great plan, God. I love this plan. We most of us will agree with God when He agrees with us. He's like, yeah, that's a good plan. He's going along with it, right? And we don't mind obedience when it feels safe. I was like, this is an easy thing to be obedient in. I can do this. This isn't a difficult ask, God. And we don't mind surrender when it feels predictable. When we kind of saw it coming. And it's like, oh, yeah, that was kind of predicting that He would ask me to do this or that. I can surrender to that. It's not a big deal. And we don't mind faith when it doesn't cost us very much. An easy faith is easy for us. It's like, I can do this. This is easy, God. But Advent confronts us with the reality we would rather avoid. God's plans rarely arrive wrapped in comfort and clarity. Very rarely. I mean, some of them, yes. But I'll be honest, when God has asked me to do things, most of the time I'm uncomfortable. I'm like, I don't really feel comfortable with that, God. He's not always clear either. Just do this. Well, yeah, what's the next step? I'm a planner. I want to know the next six steps. God's like, I'm going to give you one because you can't take step two and three yet. Just walk along with me, Mike. Last week, we met an unexpected king. And this week, we'll encounter an unexpected plan. Before Jesus lay in a manger, before the angels sang, before the shepherds ran across the field to proclaim what they had seen and to see the Savior, God had to interrupt the life of a young girl in Nazareth with a plan that would do two things. It would change the world and it would upend her life. And if God can change the world through a teenager, what might He want to do through your surrendered life, through my surrendered life? Look with me at verses 26 through 29 in Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what greeting this might be. Nazareth was not a famous city. It was small. It was obscure. It was overlooked. And Mary was just an ordinary person living in that town. There's no one special. She wasn't royalty. She wasn't wealthy. She wasn't powerful. She was a teenage girl engaged to be married, living an unnoticed life, making ordinary plans. She's getting ready for her marriage. She's getting ready to be a wife. At some point, a mom. The plan wasn't for now. The plan was, hey, we'll go through the whole betrothal. We'll act like a wife for a while. We'll get pregnant. We'll have a child at some point. But heaven knocked on her door. And Scripture tells us what? That she was greatly excited? No, she was greatly troubled. She has this angel Look, read through Scripture. You'll see how God describes these angels. So much so that mighty warrior men do what? They fall on their faces, scared, terrified, mighty warriors. And here we have this young teenage woman. She's not excited. She's not proud at this point, like, well, look at me, I've been selected. Understand, at this time, the Jewish girls would be, in their minds, probably playing out this fantasy. And here's the fantasy. There's a promise that the Messiah is going to come in a certain way. And to them, probably part of that fantasy is, maybe I'll be the mother of the Messiah. And she's not like that. She's troubled. Because when God calls us, get this, when God calls us, He doesn't just call us to believe something. He often calls us to, and you're going to hate this, surrender control. How many here love to surrender control? No hands. Surprising. My hand wouldn't be up either. And when we ask to surrender control, how does that make us feel? Unsettled. Simple things in my life that I'm asked to surrender control for, not things from God, simple things, and I freak out. I am a control nut. I've moved down from freak. I'm that nut right now. But I'm still a control nut. It's unsettling. Hasn't that been true in your own life? When you're asked to give up control? I don't like it when my wife drives, much less anything else. And it's not because she's a bad driver. I like control. I'm the worst backseat driver in the world. Laura will attest to that. And the moments when God stretches you the most were rarely the moments in my life when I felt the safest. I don't always feel safe just because God's doing it. You know, look, He doesn't say, hey, don't worry, Mike, it's going to be perfectly fine. You're going to feel comfortable. You're going to love. It's going to be the best moment of your life. He just says, hey, I need you to do this. And you might be uncomfortable. And you're going to need the Holy Spirit to feel comfortable. For me, when God asks me to do a lot of different things, I don't always feel like I'm the safest. Not because I don't trust Him, but because I like control in my life. I want to be the one in control. And just like Mary, we are often troubled, not because we don't trust God, but because we don't know what His plan will cost us. What is that going to cost me, God? That's a question that sometimes I ask. You guys are probably better than me. You're probably like, oh, yeah, I'll do that, God, right? Probably not. I mean, when God asks us, sometimes it's difficult, and I do ask the question, what is that going to cost, God? And the cost is often what keeps us hesitating, like right on the edge of being obedient, as I'm measuring the cost. Now, maybe many of you here are like, well, gosh, Pastor Mike, I would think you'd be easily going out and doing what God wants you to do. I'm one of you. I'm a follower of Christ. My wife calls me a sheep with a bell. Still a sheep. I just happen to have a bell, you know, so that the enemy knows where to shoot. Look at verses 30 through 33. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Now, why would he say that? Because she's afraid. Anytime you see the angels tell Paul or Peter or whoever, do not be afraid, it's not because they're like, well, I'm not afraid at all. They're afraid, right? For you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. This has got to be blowing her mind at this point. Bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will be there. His kingdom there will be no end. Mary is what? She's scared to death. She's terrified. She's a young girl. She's not a warrior. Of course she's terrified. I wouldn't know what I would do. I'm sure I'd be on my face. And God responds not by removing the plan, but by revealing his purpose. He starts talking to her. This child will be great. This child will be a king. This child will rule forever. This is not just a baby. This is the eternal Son of God. And yet the plan makes no sense. No sense. How does a poor girl give birth to the Son of God, to a king. How? It can't make sense to her. How does a virgin become a mother? She's like, I haven't been with a man. I'm not planning on being with any man until I'm fully betrothed, until I'm fully wed. How does a scandal like this lead to salvation? How? This is how God often works. And hasn't life taught us that God rarely explains himself? He doesn't need to before he asks us to trust him. So sometimes he'll be like, I need you to trust me. I'm not going to show you anything. Just ask him for your trust. Do this. Look at the people when they cross the Jordan. It's during the floods. The Jordan is going nuts. And he says, hey, here's what I want you to do. No big deal. Just step into the Jordan. Well, wait a minute, God. What about Moses? Remember when Moses parted the water? He didn't have to step into the water. He says, no, really, I just want you to step into the water. You ever been at a river when it's flooding? I would be like, this is a horrible idea, God. This is an absolutely miserable idea. God's like, just trust me. I'm telling you to do this. And they did it. And what did it do? It stopped. He didn't stop it, and then they did it. They did it, then he stopped it. He didn't explain himself, hey, don't worry, I'll stop the river. He just said, step in there. I don't like that. That makes me nervous. How about you guys? Do you like that? Do you like it when God asks you to do things with no explanation? Do this. I can't do that, God. Just do it. I can't do that, God. God, I can't do this. Just do it. You're like, okay, I'm going to do it, but man, I'm really not comfortable in this. I don't feel really good about this plan, God. This is Mary. His plan has stretched beyond all logic in this young girl's mind. Poor. Virgin. Not royal. Nazareth? Of all places. She's like, this doesn't make any sense. It's moved beyond probability, but it demands her faith. The probability of this really happening is impossible. God's ways do not line with our systems of safety, of predictability, or control. They don't align with us. What looked reckless in the natural became provision in the supernatural. Naturally, looking at this, you think, this is the worst plan in America. Or in that case, worst plan in Nazareth. And many of you could tell the same story if you paused long enough to remember it. To think about the times God asked you to do things you thought, that doesn't make any sense at all. Why are you asking me, first off? Second, why are you asking me? You know, multiple times I'm asking that question, why me? Why me, God? Why me? And then, it doesn't look possible, God. It doesn't look reasonable, God. It doesn't look natural, God. It doesn't look predictable, God. And lastly, I'm not in control of this, God. And yet he goes, it's okay. I got this. Look at verses 34 and 35. And Mary said to the angel, I love this. How will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Now, Mary asked what I think is probably the most logical question in the book of, in the Bible itself. Stop a second. I'm a virgin. I'm not fully married yet, so I can't have a relationship with my husband yet. How am I going to get pregnant now? Can you explain this to me? God probably chuckled. But it's a great question. How will this be? She didn't try to solve the problem. Oh, I know what he's going to tell me to do. I need to hurry up the wedding to Joseph so that I can have relationship with him so I can become pregnant. No, that's me. I'm solving the problem. You know, guys, I don't know about women because I can't speak to y'all, but I can speak for guys. We like to solve every problem put before us. Our wives bring us a problem so I can listen. I just need an ear mic. And I go, the great mic will solve the problem. And my wife's like, I just need you to listen. And in this case, God's like, I just need you to listen. Just listen. He's talking to a woman, so she listens. right? If it had been a guy who kind of figured out this something, he'd be like, I don't know, God, I got to do it my own way. But she listens. But she asks, how would this be? Faith is not pretending that we have the answers, guys. A lot of times in our faith, like, well, I got the answer to that. I know what the deal is. You know, a lot of times you don't. Faith is just trusting God, trusting His plan, trusting His goodness. Or you look at him and go, I can trust God. How do I know you can trust God? First off, look at your life. Anyone that's walked with the Lord for any period of time should have these markers along the way, little stones built up that say, here's what the Lord did for me here. Here's what the Lord did for me here. Here's what the Lord did for me here. So I can turn back and look at them. I encourage people all the time, keep a prayer journal. Why? Because if your brain's like my brain, it's not getting better as I get older and I'm forgetting things. But I can look at this prayer journal and I go, look at what the Lord did. Look at what the Lord did. Man, I'm such a knucklehead. Look at what the Lord did. And I just go through it and thing after thing after thing. And not of them just for me. I'm not keeping a prayer journal just for myself. It's where I see the Lord answer other people's prayers. I don't want to be the one-off in a group of believers. I want to just be another one of the believers who are celebrating amazing things that God has done in and through their lives. So I can look at it and go, man, God, you did this for me, and you did this for this person, and you did that for that person. You are a God that I can trust. You're a God of action. You're a God of your word. So we need to trust God even when His answers exceed my understanding. Your understanding. There's so many things God's going to tell you you can't understand. If God were to come down today and explain to us the universe, I'm not saying you guys aren't super smart, but my guess is we'd all be like, I didn't even, what are you talking about? I mean, it would be hard for us to understand once He gets beyond, here's the planets, here's how some physics works. He'd be like, I don't understand that at all. And He goes, that's okay, you don't have to understand. The universe still functions with your inability to understand how I made it happen. And that's beautiful. And this is where I would say faith really begins. It's where I trust Him. I don't have to know everything about the plan. I don't have to believe that it's all going to happen. I just have to have faith that He's going to keep His word. He's told me to do something. I'll do it. And this is where it's going to start. This is where my faith actually begins. When the math stops working and the trust kicks in. I don't have to be able to explain it, guys. So many things I can't explain. And look what God doesn't do to her here. Remember this now. What does He not do? He does not rebuke Mary. Ye of little faith. He doesn't do that. He said, okay, good question. Let me answer that for you. When you go before our loving God, He's not going to rebuke you. He understands the limitations we have. The doubt that we walk in a lot of times. The little faith that we have. He's like, I can work with that. Just have faith and trust me, right? That's the heart of the gospel, too. Salvation is not accomplished by human effort, human understanding, right? It's accomplished by whom? God alone. He's the one that accomplishes this. The same Spirit that brought life into Mary's womb is the same Spirit that brings new life into dead hearts. Exact same Spirit working. And if God can breathe life into the humanly impossible, which this was, then He can breathe life into the impossible places of your life right now. Are any of you holding on to things? I'm not taking this to God. This is so hard. You ever do that? I meet people all the time that take the simple prayers to God. Not the hard ones. Man, God, I've lost my job. I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent or my mortgage, how I'm going to feed my kids. I can tell you story upon story of how that has worked out in my life. I'm not going to do it today, but one day we'll have a testimony and just talk about things like this. The Lord has met me in places that the world would have said is impossible. He has shown up in hard times and said, I love you, Mike. I'm here for you, Mike. You can trust in me, Mike. Without anyone else knowing, the Lord used them to help me build my faith in Him. Look at verses 36 and 37. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Mary is given a sign of confirmation. She knows Elizabeth. She knows she hasn't been able to bear a child, that she is barren. And she's been carrying this shame in the Jewish society. I mean, if she can't give birth to a child, it's a shame that they carried. And God says, let me show you another impossible pregnancy. Let me give you an example. And she's just not a couple days old. She's 6 months pregnant. She is down the line. You're going to go see her and you're going to go, wow, you really are pregnant. You really are pregnant. There's going to be no question. Another miraculous birth. She's carrying John the Baptist at this time. Another reminder that God keeps doing what He promised to do. If He can open a barren womb, if God can bring life from death, He can fulfill generations of promises that He's given here, then God can be trusted. Look, He promised the Messiah a long time ago. And now He's saying, I'm going to be truthful to my word, faithful to my word. I'm going to fulfill my promise, my prophecies. And look, prophecy is one of the greatest ways to know that the Bible is true. Look at all the prophecies that are there. They're not there to show that God's awesome. Look at the cool things He can do. It's to show that He keeps His word, that He knows history, that He forms history, that He designs history, that He's in control of absolutely everything. When people say to me, how can you trust the Bible? I can't go to the Holy Spirit because they're like, well, I don't know what I'm talking about. But I go, look at the Bible. Look at all the promises that are made, all the prophecies that are foretold, and all of them that are fulfilled. How in the world? Statistically, mathematically, impossible. And yet, to the T, to the date, to the person, to the promise, He's delivered. I can't tell you what's going to happen today in the Buffalo Bill game. And if I could, we'd have a lot more money for the church. But I can't. That's a simple thing. I can look at some stats. I'm sure that, you know, Gary's over there going, I can tell you what's going to happen easily. You know, he's predicting a future he hopes happens. But whatever the deal is, God, through His Word, shows that He is trustworthy. Look at verse 38. And I love this verse. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. This is the most powerful sentence in the entirety of the Christmas story. By far the most impressive one. No demands. You don't see her ask for something. Well, hey, I'll tell you what, God. In exchange for that, how about we get this? Maybe a nicer place to live. Maybe some sheep. She doesn't do anything. No conditions. No bargaining. She just surrenders. She hears the plan. He shows that what He can do. I can do these things. He gives her this sign through Elizabeth. And she just goes, I'm all in. I'm all in. Let it be to me according to your word. How many times do you say that when God talks to you? Just let it be to me, Lord. Honestly, think about it. When was the last time you said that when God asked? I need you to do something. No. Oh, wait a minute. Explain it to me. Are you sure it's for me, God? Might be the wrong person. Let it be to me. She does not know how Joseph is going to respond. She has no idea. How is this man going to respond? She doesn't know how her parents are going to respond. Can you imagine having to go tell your parents and your husband, the person you're betrothed to, like, hey, by the way, I'm pregnant. That's a hard conversation at any age. You know, if you're not married, it's a hard conversation to have. If you're a teenager, I'm sure it's exceptionally difficult. She doesn't know if she's going to be rejected, if she's going to be shamed. What's going to happen here, right? Her Joseph could abandon her. Her parents could say, we want nothing to do with you. That's a hard 13, 14, 15 years old, however old she was. She's young. She doesn't know, but she only knows one thing. God has spoken to her. God sent an angel to tell her what was going to happen. And that was enough for her. And that's the crossroads that every believer eventually comes to. Every one of us. Is that enough for you? God talking to you. Is that enough? This is not a passive faith. This is a courageous faith that she has. She's courageous. You know, we look at all these people in the Bible and we think, man, that's a man of war. Look at David. Oh, my gosh, you know. Look at Joshua. Look at Moses. I mean, all these men that we can point out. And I go, look at Mary. The weakest of all of them. The meekest of all of them. The least of all of them. She doesn't lead a nation. She is not a king or the head of a nation coming out of Egypt, a deliverer. She's a young woman, scared, and yet she's the boldest of them all. Whatever you say, God, I'm in. Give it to me. Put me in, coach. Let's do this. You know, when people talk about the most courageous people in the Bible, I rarely hear Mary mentioned. She is by far the most courageous person in the entirety of the Bible. And I love that, because in Jewish times, a woman would not have been made the most courageous person in the entirety of the story. But that's what she is here. Are you, and am I, willing to pay the same price that Mary was willing to pay? She didn't look back and go, man, I got all these reasons not to, God. It doesn't mean that maybe afterwards she didn't think about it a little bit. Oh, man, I got to go talk to Mom and Dad. Now I got to go talk to Joseph. I can't hide it because ultimately it's going to speak for itself. Guys, this is the kind of faith that changes history. Changes history, this kind of faith. And it's still the same kind of faith that changes families, changes marriages, changes churches, changes hearts today. This is the faith we need today. Look, let's close with this. God's plans for your life, they may not look like how you would expect them to look. You may look and be like, this is not what I was expecting, God. Now, have you ever asked that question or thought about that? This isn't really where I thought it would be, Lord, at this point in my life. This isn't how I thought my life would look, God. It could feel disruptive. It may feel frightening. It may feel overwhelming. But Advent reminds us that God's unexpected plans always carry eternal purposes. He wasn't having this young lady get pregnant just so that she could be pregnant and have a child. He was bringing in the Messiah, the one that would go to the cross so that all would have the opportunity to have a relationship with the living God. Mary's surrender gave us a Savior. Savior. And our surrender still invites Christ into our lives and our hearts today. When God calls, when God interrupts, when God asks for control, when He asks for control, the only question that truly matters is this. Will we say what Mary said? Let it be to me according to your word. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this morning, Lord, for the chance to walk through this section of Luke, Lord. Father, I thank you for the faith, the courage that Mary had, Father. I thank you for that moment in which your angel came and spoke with her. And she didn't question. She didn't try to avoid the responsibility or the opportunity, Lord. She just gave control over. She released maybe her dreams and her plans, Father God, for your plan, which, as we know now, is so much better than any plan she could have possibly had, Father God. Lord, I thank you that your plans are perfect. Father, I pray that each of us would have this courage, the strength, the boldness to say, let it be according to your word. Father, we love you, and I pray that this week, Lord, as you speak to each of us in our times of prayer or devotion and the word, Lord, that we would hear you. That we would have a heart that desires to be obedient, to be faithful, to be trusting, Lord. And that, Father, we would just walk in that faith to see how it is you are going to use our lives to change the lives of others around us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.